Well, if I missed you in the beginning of the service, if you were not here yet, Merry Christmas again. So good to be together and just to worship the Lord and to forget about everything else out there. Just for these few moments, amen, just to be here, to praise Him, to bless Him. This is the greatest gift we'll ever receive, the gift of eternal life in Jesus' name. And I don't know about you guys, but Emmanuel means something so much more to me this year than any other year in the past. God with us. And how we need Him to be with us in 2020 and going into 2021. So I want to finish Isaiah 9:6 with you this evening. If you didn't read the Bible, you can just follow along on the screen behind me. I want to finish this last portion of this verse that we started in a few weeks back. And so if you would, just at least read along with your eyes as I read out loud to you. Verses that are familiar to us. I think that most of us probably have these memorized or a good portion of them memorized. But I'm asking the Lord tonight to breathe life on these verses, cause them to rise from the pages. If you're in your living room, family room, den, that they would zap you right where you are, that the Holy Spirit would strengthen all of us as we finish out 2020. So it says this, Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," everybody waits for that. What's the baby's name, right? I mean, nowadays we know the baby's sex super early. When Sean and I were having kids, you had to wait till 20 weeks. I think shortly after Harper, people were starting to get these early 3D screenings done where they could find out what their child was maybe at like 12 weeks. You get blood work now, you can find out super early. How many of you were able to do that? You couldn't wait to 20, you had to go even earlier, right? Apparently, in the olden days, the dads didn't even have to go into the room. I want to bring those days back. The dad doesn't have any place in that room. There's nothing good he can do in that room for the most part, right? And the dads and the grandfathers and the uncles, at least the way I understand it, they'd all be in the waiting room, waiting to hear, you know, if their wives were okay, the babies came forth. And then everybody wanted to know, what is the baby? What is the sex of the baby? Then after what the sex of the baby is, what is the baby's name? There's only one son of the father. He has one name to give his one son. I felt the pressure when my one son was born. What am I going to name him? I went into it like he's definitely going to be a junior. The world needs another beloved walking this earth. And I was sure of it. And then he was born and I was like, man, I don't know. We were like going between David, John, Junior. We were stuck on Giorgio. We had a few other names that we were on, and then out of nowhere, we went with Charlo Christian. The Holy Spirit inspired me to name him CeCe after CeCe Sabathia, the Yankee great who was pitching a fantastic game that Sunday or Thursday afternoon. And so the name of the child, what is his name? And the Holy Spirit knows, we want to know, what is this child's name going to be? Now, we have greater insight than Isaiah had 700 years before Mary conceived. So let's go over to Matthew chapter 1. If it's easy for you, if not, just listen in. And let's let the details given to us there tell us his name, because his name is singular. Even Isaiah knows that. His name shall be called that there in the Hebrew. It's singular. His name is singular. And it's the name above all names. It's like this, it tells us. Now the birth of Jesus, verse 18, was on this wise, when as Mary, his mother, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was the source of her pregnancy. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, do not fear, take unto thee Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. There's his name. His name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Not other people, not the people, but his people, his creation, from their sins. That's what he does. His name tells you what he does. God has become our salvation. Jesus, the name above all names. His name shall be called Jesus. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, behold, verse 23, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. That's who he is. Jesus is what he does. Emmanuel is who he is. Jesus is what he does. He saves his people from their sins. Emmanuel is who he is. He's God with us. He's God with us. Amen? He's among us through the end of the year. We made it. Hey, by the grace of God, we're here. We made it. Pinch yourself. I mean, we didn't know if this was going to happen. We're here. God is with us. God is ministering to us. He's not just a babe that was born. Y'all thought you were coming to a Christmas Eve traditional service, sing a few carols, light some candles, and feel warm and fuzzy inside. Listen, I'm here to tell you that God Almighty is with us. This is not just a past memory reflection of a babe born in a manger in Bethlehem, although that's true. That babe grew to be a man. That man is the God-man. The God-man, Jesus, has saved his people from their sins. He was nailed to the tree for you and me. He paid a debt that he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And the resurrection is signed, sealed, and delivered, that Jesus is the victor over all of our foes and enemy. That's the good news. And he's with us. He's not just a past God. He's not just a futuristic God. One day he will rule and reign. Isaiah said, and he will bear the government on his shoulder. Of course he will. But he's with us right now. His ministry is in the present. He's with us at the close of 2020. And if he tarries, he's going to be with us at the start of 2021. God with us. Praise be to God. This is the word of the Lord. He's with us. That's who he is. His name shall be called Jesus. That's what he does. That's what he does. But he's God with us. If two or three are gathered together in his precious name, he's right there in the midst. He is with us. Just sit with it for a second. God with us. God wrapped in human skin, human flesh. God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things that were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And we beheld the glory of the Father, the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, Jesus. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, could you imagine that dream? He's probably thinking, geez, what did I eat before I went to bed? Thinking maybe it's agita or something along that sort. It tells us this here, raised from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took him his wife, and he knew her not till after she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name what heaven already named him. Joseph didn't name Jesus. The Father named Jesus. His name was already in place. Heaven already named him. You shall call his name Joseph. And Joseph called his name what heaven already declared him to be, the Savior of mankind's sins. Now we go back to Isaiah, and we stay there for the duration, and we have this insight. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. It's not general anymore. We know the baby's name. And his name shall be called Jesus. And in him being Jesus, first and foremost, he's the Savior of our sins. And because he saved us from our sins, he has bridged the gap from us to God. And because he's bridged the gap from us to God, we now have access to these attributes, which are his glory. That's what these are. They're descriptors of his glory. His name shall be called Jesus, and Jesus is these things. He is the Wonderful One. He is the Counselor. Some people say, well, that's one phrase, Wonderful Counselor. You could slice it and dice however you want. He's wonderful, and he's the Wonderful Counselor. He's full of wonder. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. He is all of those things because he was first the Savior. If he's not the Savior, none of those things do any good for us because we have no access to them. We have access to them, and now the cherries on top are all of these things. Being saved from our sins is enough. But God says, no, I'm not just the Savior of your sins so that when you die, you go to heaven. I'm not just a cute story of a manger scene in Bethlehem in a stable where there was no place for me in the inn with Mary and Joseph, this miraculous conception. I'm not just those things where the wise men came and the shepherds in the field were singing by night. I'm not just those things. I am God with you. So in the meantime, in the dash between birth and death, I can be all these things that you need me to be, specifically in 2020, right now. He is God with us because he is God who has become salvation. And as a result, now we have access to all of these things that Isaiah unleashes to us. So the Holy Spirit showed me in praying for you and readying to come and stand in front of you and share with you tonight in this service. The Holy Spirit showed me that what you need is to be prayed for. That we need opportunity to appropriate these truths, to make them ours. This is just such a crazy time in human history. And I felt like the Lord showed me, we've done a lot of doctrine over the last few weeks, that tonight he just wants to wash feet and he wants to pray. And I've asked him to make me his mouthpiece, and I've asked the elders and pastors to be his arms and hands. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite a series of these guys to just sort of line the rows. It's such a difficult time. We know that some people are uncomfortable with too much contact and things of that sort. So we're going to respect all of that. But we're going to have guys at the end of sections of the rows, pastors and elders. And I'm going to ask them just to face each direction, one this way, one that way, and I'm going to pray in groups of three here tonight for the Lord to be these things in your life. And if you feel like I really need an extra measure, I really need an extra measure of him being my counselor. I really need an extra measure of him being the Prince of Peace in my life. I really need help here to be able to appropriate these things. I'm going to ask you just to stand at your seat. And if you say, well, I can't even stand, Number one, I don't want to be a spectacle. Number two, I'm going through it so much right now. This year has been so difficult for me. It's been so painful for me. I really don't have the strength to even stand. Then just maybe raise your hand. And if you can't even do that, the Lord knows still. He knows your heart. They're going to face you, and they're going to be an extension of the arm of Jesus, the hand of Jesus, because he's God with you. And they're going to pray over you from the end of the row. And so I'm going to invite you guys now to do that. I'll continue to direct the service. No one will have to wonder what's happening. I'll continue to lead you guys, elders, pastors, and congregation, in this part of the service. This is a blessed time. This is a precious time. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. In his name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. God has become salvation. Emmanuel, God with us, is here tonight to be these truths in your life in the present. Not in the future when he's physically here, right now. Not in the past for those who grew up in Israel with him 2,000 years ago, right now. No matter if it's your first time back in a long time. No matter if you're brand new to Christ or tonight is you coming to Christ. These are for you right now. He's God in the present. He's God with us right now. And so we're going to pray over you. We're going to pray over you as you have the need to respond tonight to these opportunities. It tells us here, I'm going to group them in three. It tells us that he is the wonderful, mighty God. He's the wonderful, mighty God. To be beyond one's power is what the word wonderful means. He is beyond our own power. It speaks of something when it says that he is wonderful that is absolutely impossible for you and I in human flesh to accomplish. And in order for something to get done in the matter, it has to be what we would say, miraculous. So can I say it this way then? He's the God of miracles. He's Emmanuel, the God who is the God of miracles. This word here enwraps the meaning of the wonder of God. It speaks of the redemption of God. I'm going to go to the Psalms real quick. Read to you from Psalm 78. Let me just share with you some of the wonder of your Savior who's among you tonight. The psalmist says, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and he caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and at night, he led them with a fire. He gave them drink, it tells us, out of rocks. He brought streams out of the rocks. He rained down manna from heaven. He rained down flesh upon them when they were hungry. He satisfied their deepest longings. The God of the miraculous, he is the God that is full of wonder. He's the mighty God. I'm lumping them together because I see something here that the Lord is sowing. He is the God of these acts of redemption, but he wants to encourage us tonight that he is strong God. That's what mighty God means. He is strong God. Because you could be strong and still not be valiant, but the Holy Spirit wants you to know, the word means not just is he strong God, but he's valiant God. He always wins. He always succeeds. The phrase can mean he's brave man. The phrase can mean he's giant. Listen, please. No Red Sea stands in his way. No giant threatens him. No tombstone keeps him. This is who he is. It's not who he was only, and it's not just what he will be one day in front of us physically. It's who he is tonight. On Christmas Eve, 2020, you don't need another sermon tonight. You need God to be with you tonight, and you need God to strengthen you. He is the rescue king. He is the rescue king. So if you say, ending this year, going into 2021, man, something struck me just now. I need more of God with me to show me his wonder. I need God with me to show me that he's mighty God. Would you just stand, raise your hand, and respond to this? And these guys are going to face you as I pray for you. And they're going to extend their hands because I can't get to all of you. If you want to put your mask on, yeah, go ahead and put your mask on. They're not going to come and invade your space. They're just going to extend their hand as an extension of the arm of Jesus because he loves you and he wants to strengthen you and encourage you. Yeah, just the way that you guys are. These guys are representing the Lord here tonight as he wants to minister to you in this service. Lord, we pray right now for your people who are standing and raising their hands, God. People who in their hearts don't even have the strength, Lord, to express it outwardly, but inwardly, Lord, they're crying out to you. You are the God of wonder. You are wonderful. You are mighty God. And Lord, these people here tonight are asking you, Lord, those who are on the other side of the camera watching this service, Lord, if they're standing to you, if they're responding to this, Lord, they're asking you for a greater measure of your strength in their lives. That you would show yourself strong, Lord, that in their weakness, your strength, God, would be made perfect. We thank you, Lord, for these truths that you bestowed upon us, that you've revealed to us, and we commit our hearts to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You all could be seated. Lord bless you. He's a God full of wonder. Did anybody see the sunrise this morning? I mean, did you see the sky that he painted this morning? Creation testifies and speaks of his wonder. Creation testifies and speaks of his glory. He's the mighty God. He's strong. He's strong on your behalf. I'm going to move to a second grouping here, and that is I'm going to take Everlasting Father and Counselor and lump them together. Never did it before. Never lumped these together the way that I am, but the Lord was showing me something in my study for you tonight. He's the Everlasting Father. Jesus is the Everlasting Father. It's literally, he's the Father of eternity. In the Hebrew, when it says Father, it translates the English word Dad. A word of intimacy, a word of familiarity. And we think our dads are wise more times than not. We think our dads, because of experience, we go to our dads, we go to our moms for wisdom, for direction, if we're blessed to have them on this earth because they've lived longer and they know a thing or two to bestow upon us, to share with us. The Lord says to you tonight that I am Emmanuel, God with you, but I'm also your everlasting Father, and I'm not just any ordinary dad. I'm the Ancient of Days. I have no beginning, and I have no end. I've seen the whole storybook from start to finish. And that is why I took Everlasting Father, and I lumped it with Counselor, because who better to get counsel from than an Everlasting Father? And some of you here tonight, you're just totally bewildered by all that's going on around us. Maybe you're a business owner. Maybe you're not sure if your business is going to make it. Maybe you're an employee, you're not sure if you're going to get fired or lose your job. Maybe there's financial things that you're going through. Maybe you're wondering all sorts of things tonight and you don't have answers. And as a parent, you feel like I got to have answers because my kids are looking to me. There are going to be an array of things that you need counsel on, you need direction from. And the Lord stands in our midst tonight on this Christmas Eve and he says, hey, I am here as the Everlasting Father to be your counselor, to be your advisor. You break the word counselor up, you know me, I got to do it. It could speak of somebody who's willing to consult together. The word encapsulates the meaning of exchanging counsel, to deliberate. How amazing is that? Because you could be here tonight, dark in sin, totally wayward from God, totally backslidden, and this invitation extends even to you, maybe in a different realm, than those who are seeking the Lord, it extends to you in this. Hey, as the everlasting Father, my love for you is not conditional. So your first time back tonight, or your first time seeking me again in a long time, but because I'm your dad, I love you unconditionally, and my arms are open wide to you the way that they were back in the very beginning and the way that they'll always be because I'm dad. And on top of that, I wanna exchange counsel with you. I wanna deliberate with you. I wanna hear your heart and I wanna speak back to your heart. And I think right away of Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, the Lord says. Though your sins be red like scarlet, I'll make you white as snow. Though your sins be red like crimson, I'll make you white as wool. This is an invitation from the Ancient of Days. This is an invitation who spit out the stars and breathed out the stars and tells the sea, you stay right there. This is an invitation to creation from Creator God, who's the everlasting Father, who's Emmanuel, God with us, because he's Jesus who saved us from our sins. So maybe you're here tonight in one of those realms or a realm differently, speaking to your heart of him being this Father in your life that wants to be your counselor. Would you stand if that's you so that we can pray over you at this time? If there's anybody in this place, you need counsel, you need restoration, you need healing, you need direction. Just stand right where you are, raise your hand. If you don't got the strength to do either, again, the Lord knows your heart. But God bless you guys as you stand. He's going to honor you tonight. He wants to advise you. He wants to lead you. The scripture tells us he leads those with young gently. The scripture tells us that he leads us with his eye. We are the apple of his eye. We are the object of his affection and his attention. His eyes are on us tonight. It's not just some babe in a manger. He's the Savior King. He's Emmanuel, God with you. Father, we pray now that you strengthen those who are raising their hands and standing to you and so weaken their spirit, Lord, that they're only crying out inwardly because they can't do it outwardly. Jesus, we pray that you would manifest this beautiful nature of who you are to these people in their lives, Lord, in a tailored measure. You know, Lord, what their hearts are feeling. You know the counsel that they need, the direction, Lord. They confess that they don't know. They confess that they need you. And there's nobody better to look to than the one who's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. No surprises with you, nothing that catches you off guard. And because your Father, you only have love for us, never ill-intended toward us. So, Lord, we pray right now that you would direct and counsel and advise and deliberate with and strengthen these weak hands that might hang down, these feeble knees. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord loves you if you're here tonight. The Lord loves you if you're here tonight and your heart is hard and you become callous. That happens to anybody. If I miss church, if I miss fellowship, if I stop reading my Bible, I'll quickly revert back to what I was when Jesus first went after me and got me. It will happen to any of us. And the enemy wants to tell you, you have no place. Keep going the other way. Keep going the other way from Jesus. Keep going. You have no place in this place. That's condemnation. That's from the devil. The Holy Spirit will always draw all men unto Jesus. You follow that voice. You come and run after Jesus. He's the everlasting Father. I'm sorry that maybe some of you here tonight have fathers that were a bad representation of what a father should be. Maybe you hear the word father, dad, and you cringe. Maybe you're the word father, dad, and man, it just does something to your insides. You think, man, I can't stand there's not good thoughts that you have towards your dad. But listen, the perfect father is the heavenly father, the one that gave his only begotten son so that you can be adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. That's the love of the father that we are to think of when we hear things like this. And he's everlasting. He's not going anywhere. He's steady. Listen to me, please. He's steady. In a world of unsteady fathers, in a world of absent fathers, listen, he's steady dad. And he tells us in Romans 8 that we call him, we no longer are outside of the family, we're in the family, and we cry out and call him Abba, Daddy. There's intimacy that we enjoy with Emmanuel. Thirdly and finally tonight, the way that I'm breaking this list of five, maybe four, depending on how you see it, as that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, if everybody doesn't stand up in the room for this one, then I'm not doing my job right. He's the Prince of Peace. Number one, he gives us peace with God. We've already covered that. He's Jesus. He bridged the gap. We don't bear our sins anymore. That should cause you guys, I said it on Sunday. I said it last Christmas. I said it the Christmas before. I've been saying it for a long time, and I'll continue to say it. The greatest gift you'll ever receive is not going to be under the tree. It's the gift that hung on the tree for you and me. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We have peace with God because of Jesus, the God-man. There was no other way. Jesus even said it. He gave it away in Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there is any other way, please let this cup of your wrath towards sin, not sinners, pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the bleeding started there, by the way. The bleeding started long before any hand was put upon him, any spitting in his face and pulling of the beard on his skin or ripping of the hair, the nails pierced through his body or spears in his side. The bleeding started long before, hours before, in Gethsemane in the cool night as he was agonizing of the idea of becoming sin, not just bearing sin, but becoming sin, the great exchange, so that we could become the righteousness of God. He did it. Him going to the cross answers the question, Father, is there any other way? And then hours later, we find him bearing the tree for you and me, being nailed to that tree, not coming down when being taunted. If you're really the Son of God, if you really are who you say you are, then come down from that cross. Call down angels, I dare you, ha, ha, look at you. You know, he bore that because he knew if he came down, there'd be no way to rescue us from sin, Satan, and hell. But he hung in there literally, and he gave up the ghost. No man took it from him. And he received it to himself again when he rose again 3 days later. And he had victory for us. So we have peace with God. And we also are invited tonight now to have the peace of God. That flees sometimes. And it's not his fault. And we just get fixated on other things. The world around us, the politics, the sickness, the pandemic, the troubles, the issues, my goodness, we could spend the evening talking about all of those thieves of peace. But the Prince of Peace is here tonight. The author of peace. The giver of peace. The originator of peace. The one who is peace itself. Let the peace of God govern your hearts. Let the peace of God flood you and fill you and overwhelm you. Let the peace of God that is otherworldly, peace, he says, I give and offer you, peace that the world doesn't know of, the peace the world knows of is temporal, it's fleeing, it's conditional, it's contingent upon the circumstances and what's going on around you. But the peace of Jesus, the peace that passes all understanding, but it's not the peace that gives you all understanding. It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's supernatural and it's otherworldly, and Emmanuel's in our midst tonight. And he says to us adults, he says to us men who never want anybody to know that we're afraid of anything, he speaks to the depths of our hearts. And he says, I want to minister to you what you can't find anywhere else. And if you do, it's superficial. I want to minister to you an otherworldly peace so that you're strong and can carry on. So if that's you tonight, I don't want you all to stand because I said that. I'm being sincere. If that's you tonight, you need an extra measure of peace. You got the opposite of peace right now. You got a fear that keeps coming in. You got an anxiety that keeps robbing you of your joy. You're dealing with something because of obvious reasons. Maybe just raise your hand, stand to the Lord. Let him know that that's you in your spirit. I'm going to be patient for a minute. I know there's a lot of people that need this one. The peace of God. You put too much stock in a politician. You put too much stock in a political party. You put too much stock in the doctors or whatever, man. Your peace is being robbed. Jesus, I want to give you peace like a river. Peace like a river that floods your soul. Lord Jesus, I pray for peace. Just like the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's the gospel. That's the mission statement of the birth of Jesus. You've come to give peace. You've come to bring peace in a world of anxiety, in a world of troubles, in a world of sorrows and pain and uncertainty and complexity, God. We look to you to find our peace. Would you flood this place with your peace? Would you flood these souls, God, with your peace? Thank you for it. Thank you for the rest that we receive from you. When we're weary and we're heavy laden, Lord, we find rest in your presence. Speak peace over us, Jesus, we pray. Thank you that you are with us to give us this peace. Keep our minds stayed on you. That's the key, Lord, that our minds would be stayed on you so that we can enjoy perfect peace. Keep us from looking to the billows and the waves. Keep us from being thrown off, God, in our pursuit of you by the sound of the wind, the noise and the ruckus and the craziness around us. Keep our eyes fixated upon you, Jesus. Keep feeding us and ministering to us your peace. Thank you that this is a fruit of your spirit. Thank you that you give us a spirit and a mind, Lord, of peace. That you give us power and love and a sound mind, that you don't give us fear. Fear has torment. And in you, Lord, there is no fear. There is no torment. You minister a spirit of love and peace. So as we close this year, God, that has just totally floored us, and we start another year with you, should you tarry. God, we pray that we would walk in peace, and Lord, the joy that we exude because of the peace that is internal would be contagious to those who are around us, and we'd win many, many to Christ. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. There's something spectacular that he's doing here tonight. He wants to continue it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go back to singing to the Lord in closing. Because I think that the Lord sometimes, he just ministers when he can finally get us quiet before him. It is so hard to get quiet before the Lord. It's so hard to just find a crevice, a nook in our homes, in our spaces where we can just go and be with Jesus and let him finish something that he started sowing within us. He's sowing things within us tonight. He's sowing truths. And so before we all go to our parties and our gatherings, or maybe it's a really different Christmas Eve. Maybe it's just going home and maybe it's very low key. You're going to watch a show, a movie, whatever it would be. Before you go and give your mind to anything else, let's let Jesus just finish what he started. Let's let him make it personal now, not just corporate. We're going to move through some songs. We're going to light our candles. There's a candle in the front, right by the front peg of each of your seats. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to light mine, and I'm going to light Larry and Lou's, and they're going to come to the start of each row, and they're going to light your candle on the end, guys and ladies. If you would light the person's candle next to you, just kind of keep passing the fire. Don't burn anything. And by the time these guys are done with that song, we're going to have a whole nother song with candles lit to sing Silent Night together. And then we'll close with the blessing, the way that the service should end. So sing to the Lord. Enjoy this moment. This will be the best part of your day, of your tomorrow, of your week, being together with God's people, getting a taste of heaven with Emmanuel, God with us, right in the center of us tonight, ministering to us. I don't know if Mary would agree with that song, that it was a silent night and peaceful and calm, but as you guys just carefully blow out your candles, I want to leave you with this. You know, it's the Holy Spirit was ministering to me, just the birth of Jesus, what this was for the Lord to take on human flesh, to never be put off again. And I was reminded of what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 5, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering. This is what he said to the Father. It's Jesus speaking to the Father from eternity past. He said to the Father, sacrifice and offering you did not want, but a body has thou prepared for me. And I think about that, you know, how Christ put on a human body, born in a manger, feeding trough, young Mary, 14, 15 years old with Joseph, beholding their child on that first Christmas evening. In the manger there, that cataluma outside there in Bethlehem, this probably opened structure, looking into the glory, holding the Son of God. Never to put off this body again that he would grow into. Walked among us. So all these things that he offers to us as God with us, all those things we just went through. Almighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Counselor, all these things. He can say to you, I can experientially be these. Because I walk the earth. And I went through things that you go through, that you've gone through, that you're going to go through. And so I can be a very present help in your time of need because I've been in need the way that you've been in need when I walked the earth and I relied on the power of the Spirit and the comfort of the Father. So how powerful that is that he can say that to us. That he can stoop and look in our eyes and strengthen us with that experience. The Lord bless you guys. Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This song came out that we're going to sing over you and sing with you. This song came out in the beginning of the pandemic. We started doing it when we were streaming services into your home. And I said to him, I said, there's probably no better way to end it than singing it over you live and in person. And those of you guys who are streaming, ending the year the way that this whole pandemic started, the Lord's blessings, we're focusing on that. Lord bless you. Lord keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. Amen? So let's sing it to him. Let's receive this blessing over us. And at the close of the song, the service is dismissed. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful time with your family and friends. But let's first sing to the Lord this last song of praise. Let's lift our voices, raise our hands, and make a joyful noise.